This is Ram Dass's lecture titled A Gathering of Souls. It was presented at a weekend workshop in San Rafael, California in 1995.
Jaya Bhagavan, Jaya Bhagavan, Jaya Bhagavan, Jaya Bhagavan,
Jaya Bhagavan. That is? It's you. That's peace. Do you hear that? That's equanimity. That's peace. Yeah! Ooh! Ah! Just the same. Loss, gain, fame, shame, pleasure, pain, life, death, bloop, 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 bloop. Same. Boy, did you see that world end heavy, wasn't it? Whew. Now, see, this is the advanced course. I'm challenging you now to get all three planes going so that you are honoring the ego and you're playing your part and you're in your role and you're doing it all perfectly. The soul that is running off its karmic tab, well, there goes abuse. There's, you know, there's financial dismal failure. That's good. I needed one of those to fill in that square. Let's see. Comes a Republican administration. I need one of those. Comes a good golf score. I certainly needed one of those. Soul's running off its karma. Interesting, fascinating. Ah. And then at the same moment, it's got the yearning, that yearning for the beloved. And we're going to talk later on, sometime this weekend, about relationships and about the difference between loving somebody and loving the beloved and where the somebodyness ends and what it is and how it reflects and mirrors. But the other part of the soul's business is its relationship to the one. And for the one, there is the play of all this stuff going on within itself. It's all an internal matter. Just souls, egos, stories, planes of consciousness, all within awareness. When you start to work with that ultimate plane, the kinds of lines you use are this five-line stanza from a Tibetan woman. Don't prolong the past. That's your personal history, by the way. Don't invite the future. How do you know how it's going to come out? Don't alter your innate wakefulness. You don't have to do anything. Just be. Don't fear appearances. Phenomena come up, including your actions. It's all phenomena. Nothing more than that. So now, ladies and gentlemen, fellow souls, awareness in drag, you now have the blueprint for the weekend. We're going to work within this blueprint. Question it, bring examples in, learn how to work with it, and use it. That's what our business is together this weekend. Learning how to meet as souls, meet in awareness, and meet as egos, without being entrapped in any of it. In other words, how to be free in form. You and unique, and you're seeing your life unfold. You're seeing your clingings, your shadows, your loves, your passions. You're seeing it all. You're mindfully bringing mindfulness to what is in incarnation. And if you keep going and saying, but who's that? Who's that? Who am I? What is? Then even in Buddhist anatta, then even the sense of a separate entity turns out to just be more phenomena. You're even thinking of yourself as separate, finally dissolves. And you are indeed back where you started. It would be one way of saying it, although that implies start and back and beginning and end. You've been there all along. That's the bizarre thing. The realization you've been here all the way along. It was like I had a dream and I awoke. Oh! The dream was that I was separate, even as a soul. And then that soul and its separateness all comes into awareness, but as phenomena. As phenomena. And at that moment, you start to appreciate. If you go inward, you begin to appreciate how awareness is awareness. It's not your awareness. It's not my awareness. It's nothing personal. And when you and I rest in awareness, that is the culmination of love. Because you're not even a breath apart. You are the breath within the breath. When people say, may peace be with you, peace cannot be with the ego, except like for the briefest second. Because the ego is made up of stuff that doesn't allow for it. The soul is still moving towards something. Awareness is peace. And phenomena arise. I am a phenomenon in your consciousness at this moment. Just another moment. Just another moment. I guarantee you that within 10 hours this will be gone. And there'll be even the memory of it gone. It'll come back, but it'll be gone. You'll be so busy getting supper that just in cutting the beans, this moment will be gone. Where was it? Oh, I'll never forget this. I hope you will. Because awareness is in the moment. It's not in moldering butterflies of memories of awareness. It's in the moment. It's so bizarre, as we will see this weekend as we keep playing with this, how you can go through time into timelessness. You can go through becoming into being. You can go into through meditation of planes of consciousness, of the witness and the deeper witness and the witness of the witness and back in until there's just and all of that keeps going in and out and in and out and in and out. And that's an interesting one. Does it ever be all in at the same moment? I don't really know that. Because the way we see manifestations is always from one plane or another. Like the other quote of Ananda Maima that I use, are the words on one plane speaking about another plane. It's the finger pointing at the moon. And once Paramahansa Yogananda asked Ananda Maima to tell him something of her life. Father, she said, there is little to tell. My consciousness has never associated itself with this temporary body. Before I came on earth, Father, I was the same. I grew into womanhood, but still I was the same. When the family in which I had been born made arrangements to have this body married, I was the same. And Father, in front of you now, I am the same. Even afterwards, though the dance of creation changes around me in the hall of eternity, I shall be the same. Can you hear who that is? The soul is unique. It has its unique karma. It's working it out through incarnation. As it awakens to its own existence, it starts to shed the attractions and the aversions that had it stuck and closed down into the prison of incarnation. It awakens, so now the soul is present and the incarnation is unfolding. Its storyline is continuing. Ram Dass is continuing. Its story goes on. Hello, how are you? Yes, I'll do that. Hello. Good evening, this is Ram Dass. That's all the storyline. And slowly, more and more, behind it is just, wow, look at that one. Mild curiosity at first. That's a subtle attachment. fascination. My, you wouldn't have believed that, would you? The synchronicity was appalling. And then you get to the point of, oh. And then the point of it's all precious. See, you can't experience the all precious, beautiful, yum, yum, yum of the beloved as long as you're afraid of being trapped by it. You've got to get through your original reaction to the trauma of what you've been through of being trapped. When the soul wakes up, it's like, oh, I mean, it's very shaky. Very shaky. It isn't, of course, but it thinks it's shaky. So now when somebody says, I have a special relationship with you, the question is, do souls have special relationships? Egos certainly do. Souls are working out their stuff through ego special relationships. But the question is, do you want to identify with a special relationship or do you want to identify with a soul? And if it's a soul, we just, you here, I'm here, hi. Well, what have we got to do? Well, this time we'll just wave. No, this time let's, you be my father and I'll be your child. No, this time let's be competitors. Okay. It's like when the Dalai Lama was asked what he thought of the Big Bang Theory. He said, which one? And the mature relationships that we develop, that you, when you work on yourself deeply enough, and you meet another person who is working on themselves deeply enough, is we meet just as you here, I'm here. And then if we have a dance to do, we dance. And if we don't have a dance to do, we don't dance. But the dance or the not dance doesn't matter to either of us. And yet we love each other deeply. Deeply. And I don't mind really playing with different ones of you in these different ways as if it really matters. But it's much more fun if you also realize it doesn't matter. Much more fun. The game is much higher. And I keep saying to everybody, hey, play it a different way. Come on out. It's like having a ball bouncing outside at sunset, and everybody's got their nose pressed against the window saying, we can't come out. Mother said it's too late. We can't come out. And I'm just waiting for somebody to come out and play. And most of you, we play for moments, and then people go back into stuff. And I go back into stuff, and that's our work, is to extricate ourselves from having to look at how we are with each other as egos rather than as souls. And I think it's a confusion, the term soulmates. I mean, I can understand it. I can see souls traveling together through series of incarnations because they have work to do. Most of the people that use the word soulmate do it from an ego level. And there's a whole way of describing spiritual planes from ego that is really basically ego stuff. A lot of the New Age movement is that. It is basically an ego ripoff of spiritual concepts by people who still want power because they are rooted in fear. The soul isn't rooted in fear. The soul is doing fine. Quite a while in an incarnation, which you created, or which is the manifest of what your karma needs. It's all fine. There's no errors. It's just interesting. Oh, my God, have I been had? I'm not that being at all. And the experience of the awakening of the soul, which one is not just the awakening, because with my mother and all, we were awakening into that place of just being two beings sharing the peculiarity of the predicament we found ourselves in as an incarnate, as incarnates. Like, as Golem said, what are we doing here where this is real? What are we doing stuck in this place where it's real? That's the lazy man's guide to enlightenment. So from the soul's point of view, as you start to awaken, you see the way in which the incarnation sticks to you as you're sort of shaking it off, like shaking off water or stuff like that. Now, there's a tendency, because you've been trapped in the incarnation for so long, when you awaken, to see it in negative terms. It trapped me, it's thick, it's heavy, it's something, and you push against it. And that's called, it's like the renunciate path. I just won't think of rhinoceros, you know. I just will push away life, and then I will push away incarnation, and then I will be as sore as a soul. In other words, I want to get high, and I want to push away the low. And low and high are still seen as value things, that higher is better than lower. Higher, I feel connected to the universe. I feel I'm in my soul. Lower, I come down back into my psychodynamic, social, physical, somebody specialness. Trapped back here again. From the soul's point of view, the curriculum of the soul has two components to it. They're really interesting. It's the middle level, remember now. First of all, it's working with its incarnation. And it sees ultimately that Buddha was absolutely right on. That the clinging of mind, the attraction and the aversions of mind are what juice the whole system and the suffering and the whole shtick. So the soul is using the experiences of incarnation to get lost in, then to awaken out of, to see one's predicament, and to get to the point where one can be, as Christ said, in the world but not of the world. You are not pushing away your incarnation because that's an aversion. And you can't afford any aversions anymore. Because aversions are from the ego level. The soul doesn't have aversions. The soul just sees aversions and attractions within the ego. Every time you're identified with an attraction or an aversion, you're identified with your ego. So the job of extricating oneself into one's soul is slowly cultivating those qualities which allow you to see the whole process and to calm yourself into realizing that your incarnation is about extricating yourself from attractions and aversions so that you are not lost in incarnation anymore. But it doesn't mean pushing against it, as you'll soon find out in the horny celibate period. Because if you push against it, it still got you. The game is to go beyond that into the point where you are fully in the world and fully not in the world. There are stages where you get into your soul where you say, oh, I miss the passions of life. Meaning the passions, the excitements that were caused by being lost in it. And you think, I'll never have those again. I'll never have my first romance. I'll never have this and I'll never have that. Because those were so adrenaline rushy, heady stuff. You must remember. And that's a lot like what is often called the dark night of the soul, where you have sort of realized that you're not going to have the intensity of the excitement that came from being totally lost into the linear drama and not knowing how it comes out. It all comes out the same. It all turns back into whatever it is. That's the nature of the transitory nature of phenomena, whether you like it or not. And we form relationships based on our specialness and their specialness. And we look for symbiosis around our specialness. And it's all very dramatic. It's all as the world turns, and it's all so poignantly, beautifully horrible. And so thick, and everybody's in it right up to their eyeballs. And does she, does he, will they, won't they, can I, can't I, what will he think if I do? Oh, yee-haw, yee-haw. hello, goodbye, I miss you, I love you, go away. It's all relational stuff. I mean, you just look at your language, your concepts, all of it. It's so thick. You keep saying, I want to be alone. Don't kid yourself. You don't want to be alone. You wouldn't exist. Funny way, you only exist relationally at that level. It's the funny thing about the ego, how deeply it is in relationships. And that's why I got interested in what happened in the 60s when was a certain thing culminated that was kind of bubbling around in the history of the culture, which was the undivided loyalty to individualism. After communism and after fascism and communism, we got into individualism, a new ism.